Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Jen Drummond. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. You know, Jen, you help a lot of people in the things that you're doing, the book you've written, and just adding value. But what was the lowest moment in your life?
I would say when I was in the car accident and realized my life was like, I almost ended, like my life was almost done. And I thought about all the things that I had left that I wanted to do that I hadn't made time to make happen.
And were you a teenager or you were adult at this time?
I was an adult. Yeah, it happened in 2018.
That wasn't very long ago.
No, not at all. It was not that long ago. It was definitely a line in the sand for my life. I think we a lot of times sell ourselves on the concept that there'll be time, we can do this later, put your kids first, put you on hold, the career matters. And that car accident was one of those things where it was like, wow, if I would have died, man, I really missed out on a whole bunch of things I wish I would have participated in or done or experienced or explored.
Now, you're the first woman to climb the second highest summits on each of the seven continents. Were you already doing that before the accident, or was this something after?
Yeah, that was an after project. So what happened was I got into this terrible car accident. I somehow walked away unscathed for the most part. And then a few weeks after the accident, a girlfriend of mine was running on a trail when it was wet, slipped, hit her head, and never came home. And so those two sequence of events so close together made me realize you don't get to choose when you die, but you sure get to choose how you live. And I better start choosing to live. So 2019 was this big year of reflection of who am I? Why am I here? Why didn't I die? Why did she die? What's my purpose? And 2020, I was turning 40. So I decided that I wanted to launch my decade of the 40s with something significant. Like, you know what? I live in Park City. I like to ski the mountains. I'm going to climb a real mountain. And I asked a few friends of mine that were into mountaineering, and I said, if you could climb one mountain in the whole world, what mountain would it be? And the consensus was a mountain called Ama Diblam, which is located in Nepal in the Himalayas. It's the Paramount Pictures logo. For those of you listening, you might know that logo. And it stood for the mother's necklace. I have seven children. I felt the name was appropriate. The location sounded amazing. Considering it was referred to me by a couple of people, I decided that, yeah, I'll go climb this mountain called Ama Diblam. So I start to pick up training and COVID happens, right? So COVID disrupts all of our plans everywhere. And all of a sudden I am a homeschooler. And one of my kids one day is struggling with his math homework. I'm like, listen, buddy, we do hard things. You've got this. And he looks at me and he goes, if we do hard things, why are you climbing a mountain called I'm a Dumb Blonde instead of a real mountain like Mount? I'm like, funny, buddy, funny. It's called Ama Diblam, not I'm a Dumb Blonde. But thank you. Finish your math homework. We'll look at Everest. And so we looked at Everest when he was done with his math. And I thought, you know, why not? If Everest is this big all be all superpower goal that he wants me to climb, I'll climb it. And then I'll show him whatever his Everest is, he can do too. So I start training for Everest and I hire a coach. And the coach is like, sends me a book because I'm not into mountaineering. And so he sends me a book and it's learning how to train as an uphill athlete. So I'm reading the book and in the front of it, there is this lady who got a Guinness World Record for doing something in the Alps. And I just remember thinking, like, I could have done that. Like, I can suffer. That would be something I could do. And my kids, who do not think I'm cool right now as this homeschool mom, would think I'm the coolest in the whole world. Because what mom has a Guinness World Record? And so my coach called, and I was kind of half joking about this conversation. He's like, well, we'll think of something. We'll think of a record for you. I said, okay, sounds good. I go, but I'm not growing pumpkins or speed eating hot dogs. So whatever that means. And we kind of let the conversation go. A few weeks later, he calls me back and he's like, Jen, I've got this perfect idea for you. I'm like, okay, yeah, what? And he's like, I think you should become the first female to climb the 7-second summits. I'm like, what are the 7-second summits? I don't even know what they are. And he goes, well, they're the second highest point on each continent. It's only been done by one male. It's a lot harder than the first 7. It hasn't been done by a woman. And you love to travel. And let's be honest, 7 continents, 7 mountains, 7 kids sounds like a challenge. And I thought about it. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is, yeah, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's see. Because if I fail, okay, so no one cares, right? But if I succeed, that's a pretty cool thing to be alive for. So that's when I started to get mountains more aggressively and started climbing. And I wish I could tell you that I summited everyone on the first time, but I didn't. A couple of them took a couple times. And it wasn't until June of this year that I climbed the last one and set the record.
Wow, that's a wonderful record to have, it sounds like. And what was the last climb?
Where was that? So the last climb was called a mountain called Mount Logan. It's located in North America, up in Canada, and it took me 2 times. So I tried in 2022 and did not summit, went back in 2023 and just summited on June 1st.
Wow, amazing. And you mentioned you have 7 kids. Now, you literally had 7 kids yourself?
Yes. Wow. I'm not a Brady Bunch. I am a sole ranger of these 7.
Wow. That's
that probably a low point in my life too, is struggling to get pregnant. But then I did fertility treatments and got embryos. And I believed that embryos were life. And 7 of those things turned into babies, which are now teenagers and like tweens.
Wow. Now, before the accident, did you consider your life already a success?
I did. I considered it a success from more of societal norms. I had financial success. I have healthy children. I was a stay-at-home mom. But I will say that inside, I felt like I was meant for more. I just didn't know what that meant or what that looked like or whatever. And I kept telling myself, you know what? You have kids, stay home, do the kid thing. When they go to college, then you can start thinking about what you're interested in and what you want to do again. And so I was doing the mom thing and I wasn't unhappy, but I definitely wasn't thriving. When I got into the accident, that changed the story. And I realized, like, man, I almost died. And if I died, like, what's my legacy? What would my story say? What do I want it to say? And that, like, really opened me up to, hey, I'm going to do this mom thing and myself. And so I started doing things that I liked, which actually took me a while to figure out because I was just so used to putting my needs on the back burner. I mean, people would ask me what I wanted to go for dinner. I'm like, I don't even know. And so I started, you know, I'm like, started paying attention. Do I like this? If I had the free time, would I pick this myself? Or am I just eating here because somebody else likes it or it's convenient?
When you talked about, you know, your accident, it reminded me of one of my favorite movies, The Shawshank Redemption. And there's this one scene in the movie where Red, Morgan Freeman's character, he actually got released out of prison. And he found himself doing a job bagging groceries because he was older. And he was in a room that a former inmate was previously, and that inmate actually hung themselves because they were in such despair. They didn't know what to do. And although they were free inside, they weren't free. And he carved something saying that he was there in that room. And Morgan Freeman read, he got to a point that he had a crossroad to make a decision to do something. And he carved in next to that former inmate's name. He said, which formerly said he was there. And he said, so was Red. And he said, get busy living or get busy dying. So we often come to crossroads in our lives that we could just stay with the status quo. And oftentimes people do that, or we can go beyond, which leads me to my question. How would you describe going beyond a life of success, which you had, to a life of significance?
Yeah, you know, I think you realize we're all in this game of life together. And if I climb the mountain, it's great. I can show you that, you know, it can be done. But the real satisfaction, the real joy is when you help somebody else climb the mountain. When you help them have the aha moment of, oh, here's where I was stuck, but here's how I can get around it. Or here's how I can navigate through that and become more. And we're such an interconnected species that once you figure out the game of success and whatever that looks like to you, the real joy is helping somebody else have that same feeling.
Can you share a success story, how you've helped someone? Of course, you don't have to use their names.
Yeah. So I'll give you a story from when so K2 is one of the 7 second summits, probably the most famous second summit. It's located in Asia. It's a deadly mountain. I mean, prior to 2022, 25% of the people that climbed it died on the way down. I think the odds, like 2022, there's a lot of success. So I think it went down to like 18% of the people that climb it die on the pursuit. When I went to climb it in 2021, a teammate of mine died in an avalanche. And I was on the mountain ahead. I was about a camp ahead, a day ahead on the mountain, as you would say it. And we were talking about, oh, wow, okay, what are we going to do? What happens? We didn't really have protocol for this situation. And another team came up and somebody started speaking English to me. And they're like, hey, Jen, we're going to go up, join our team and go up. I remember thinking to myself, do I? Yeah, there's a part of me that does. Part of me wants to summit this mountain and be done with it. But my teammate just died. So no, I'm not going with you. I'm going to go down and take care of my team and figure this out. So I went down and, you know, dealt with the death of a teammate, dealt with an injury of another teammate that needed to be heli evacuated out, and then helped pack up camp and started a 70-mile trek out. And I got home to LA and I called my nanny and I said, hey, I'm going to be home a little bit later. She's like, don't worry, the kids are still at camp. I'm like, okay, it was just a lot to process. And I didn't want to go home because kids know, right? Kids know if you're struggling or you're not telling the truth or you're not at peace with something. I came home and then the kids came home a couple days later and they're like, hey, mom, did you summit? I said, no, I didn't, but I had success. And they looked at me while puzzled, like, hey, what do you mean? I said, no, I didn't summit, but I showed up as a person I'm proud of. I put the people I was with in front of the peaks that I was climbing. Who we are is more important than what we achieve. And so I'm proud that when I had the opportunity, I put people over peaks. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, they kind of got it or whatever. And there's still a part of me that was disappointed that we didn't summit. And you run through the scenarios 1,000 different ways. How could it have been different? What would have been different? What could have happened? What should we have done? All those things. And it started to come up to climbing season again, because climbing season is in July for K2. So I'm getting ready to leave and I'm still trying to find the purpose of the failure, because I do believe that failure is a teacher and there's something to be harvested from those lessons. And a couple weeks before I was leaving, I was informed of a girl that was trying to climb the mountain that didn't quite have all the gear or the resources to make it happen. And I'm like, oh, okay. And as a Pakistani female, she'd be the first to summit her country's prized peak. I'm like, maybe I should be a part of that. Okay, I'll be a part of that. So I brought some stuff over for her and did some other things. And when I went to climb K2, I was excited, right? I'm like, hey, I'm on the top of this mountain. This is amazing. And then when she got to the top of the mountain, I started waterworking, right? I was tearing up everywhere. And I said, this is why I failed. I failed so that I could be a part of the story that put this female on top of the mountain. So now little girls that are my daughter's age have somebody on the mountaintop that looks just like them. And it gives them permission to dream and expand and think of what's possible for themselves. And so I feel there's a reason for all of it. Sometimes failure is hard to metabolize and understand, but if you pursue it and stay consistent and do the right thing, the answers come just sometimes in the future.
Now, how does your family, well, how did they deal with you, your kids and so forth? How did they deal with your dangerous exploits climbing these mountains?
Yeah, you know, I think kids look at dangerous things differently, right? If they don't have a framework that this is dangerous or scary, then that's not something that's innate to them. They think everything's possible until you tell them otherwise. And so for my kids, I mean, we talked about it. I was safe. I did extra things that maybe took a little bit more time on the mountain, but gave me a little bit of extra security because it was more important for me to come home than it was for me to climb or summit a mountain. And I trained and do everything I could to stay safe. And when, you know, I turned around on K2 and I turned around on Mount Logan. Both mountains had people summit the years that I went for it, but it just wasn't safe the days that I went for it. And so I turned around because I know the mountains I was going to be there. It's whether I'm going to be there or not.
How about the adults?
The adults, you know, a little bit harder. My parents are definitely excited that I'm done with the expeditions. They're definitely excited this pursuit's behind me. But, you know, I have a unique perspective on death. I was in a near-death experience, and I have a friend that was doing something healthy that died, and I should have been the one that died. And if we control when we die, then maybe I would be a little more concerned about it myself. But the reality is we control how we live. I think the universe controls when we die.
You wrote a book, Quit Proof. Have you ever quit at something in your life?
Yes, I have. I have. I know, funny to come out of a book called Quit Proof. Quit Proof, 7 Strategies to Build Resilience and Achieve Your Life Goals. Because you have to know what to quit and when to quit and when to pause and when to turn around and when it makes sense and when it doesn't. I give an example where I had a friend that had a private plane. And we went on a shopping trip on this private plane. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is the ticket. Are you kidding me? I want a private plane. I'm going to get my pilot's license. I'm going to start flying people and blah, blah, blah. You know, I had this whole idea of what it was going to be like. So I come back from this trip, though it took like 2 seconds to go through TSA and everything else. And I'm like, I sign up for a pilot's class and I take my first flight lesson. I'm like, okay, this is okay. And I take a few more of them and the novelty's kind of wearing off and the excitement's wearing off a little bit. When you're a pilot and you're flying a plane, the entire time you're in the air, you're scanning all the instruments for trouble. And then you're scanning the entire environment to say, okay, if something went wrong right now, here's where we would land. If something went wrong right now, there's where we would land. And you're always scanning for problems. And so when I came home from lessons, it would be hard to switch. I'd be scanning my house for problems. Well, 7 children, you have lots of problems. There's no problems finding problems with 7 kids around, right? Somebody didn't do this or that or whatever. It just wasn't like happy and joyful in me. But I'm like, okay, well, I signed up for this. I'm going to finish this because that's what I do and da, 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 da. So I, you know, I'm getting ready to take the final exam. And my flight instructor said, you know, make sure you call your insurance company and let them know you're getting your private pilot's license. I'm like, oh, okay, good idea. So I call my insurance company and they tell me the cost of now what my insurance will be because of this pilot's license. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, no, I don't like this enough. Like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I didn't realize it was this much money or this much impact or blah, 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 blah. And so I stopped. I stopped because I didn't like, there's enough things that I was like, this isn't me. This isn't what I want to do. This isn't my idea of what it was going to be. I tried it. I learned more and I decided I want to do something different. And so I think when you quit something, but you took it to a spot where you're like, nope, this isn't me. I'm done. I'm going to now go pivot and do something else. That's using whatever happened and using that energy into something else. What I talk about quitting is like, I don't want you to quit and sit on the sofa and give up on life and give up on yourself and give up on your dreams. Your dreams might change. They might evolve, but I don't want you to ever stop pursuing.
So it's important to be engaging life. That's the fullness of life. Be engaging in life.
Agreed. Agreed. Action. Get out there and do life. Experience life.
How important is resilience in this process? Because you said there are 7 strategies to build resilience.
Yeah. I think resilience is what gets it. I mean, there's always going to be hard times. Our heart always changes depending on who we are and what we've experienced. And we need to build resilience to challenge those hard times and not let them define us, but allow them to show us who we are and what we're capable of. So when you're building resilience, it's very important to develop strategies. It's something that you can acquire. It's not something I believe you're born with. Like one of the key components is building community. If you want to do big things, it takes a big team to make big things happen. And you need to build a community to be able to do that. So when I decided to climb Everest, I was going to be away from home for a long time. And I hadn't been away from home for that long. I remember thinking, man, I got to make sure my kids are okay. I went to the kids' school. And I told the teachers, I'm going to go climb Everest. I'm going to be gone for 3 to 4 weeks, potentially. Mom's coming, nanny's staying, but they're going to maybe be a little sensitive. So can you be a little more graceful during these next few weeks knowing that I'm gone? And the teacher's like, yeah, of course. And then one of them, don't we do the Everest campaign? Teach the kids about setting goals, what their Everest goal is. Well, I had a tracking device on me while I was climbing Everest. So while you're climbing, we'll have this little mountain in the front entryway of the school and the kids can see where you are and kind of follow along your path and progress. And it'll be this big learning experience for all of us. I'm like, fantastic idea. So I did. Now when I was gone, my kids were loved on. They were seen. Everybody's like, I know where your mom is. She made it to here or hear what's going on. When you're at base camp of Everest, you have Wi-Fi, so I could do some Zoom calls into the classrooms. And that allowed me to be very present where I was, knowing that the things I cared about most, my children, were being taken care of, loved on, and watched. And so then also when I climbed Everest and got to the top, it wasn't just me standing at the top. It was all the kids that were at that school. It was everybody behind me that supported me that made this possible. And those kind of, that helps, that resilience factor helps you go further and farther in whatever you're pursuing.
Where can people find you on social media?
The best place to find me is at jennndrummond.com. So that's www.jennndrummond. That has information on the book, some of the courses that I run, challenges that I do, and then also is a home base for the different social media channels I'm on, depending on what one you like.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
I want you to realize that whatever gets you created is what you're supposed to do. That's the universe's sign, like, hey, this makes me excited. And if that makes you excited, then I want you to lean into that and figure out how to do more of those things. Because when we all lean into what makes us excited, we all are easier, happier, better people to be around.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.